keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavor added in. Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Okay, we're live.
Hello.
Recording live?
Something like that.
It's spring in Michigan, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. It's colder than piss, still.
You know, last year it was 53 degrees warmer on March 20th than it was this year.
53 degrees warmer?
Yeah, it was 83 degrees last year.
No shit. I think I remember that.
83 degrees.
Well, you know, we haven't updated in 2 weeks now since the beautiful, link baiting.
Yes.
Awesome podcast that we had with Brett.
Katoris.
I can never remember
his
name. But I think I figured since with all the traveling and a little bit of the less, there's been a lot of cool things that have gone on. And we'll just kind of keep going along.
Yes.
But there's been a lot of cool news that has come out.
Well,
there's always cool news that comes out in our industry. But I think some of the things that I really wanted to cover was the SMX conversation that had happened between Dwayne Forrester and Matt Cutts. Just talking about updates to the engines and stuff. And, you know, I guess one of the big things to kind of start off with is there is just a new study released by an internet marketing company called Portent. And they're basically saying that because now Penguin, Matt had announced, is pretty much going to be rolling out in regular algorithm updates. So you're not going to see much of an impact because it's happening on such a regular basis daily.
Yeah, it won't be as steep.
Yeah, it's not going to be as steep. But basically, they did a study of like the top 100 websites and did backlinks of like 500,000 links for those. And they were looking at basically over time how Penguin has, you know, for the last three updates, so to speak, their tolerance of shit links is becoming less and less.
Yeah.
So they're really not taking a lot of, I guess, detail. They have a criteria built up of what's kind of constituting as a spammy or a crappy link. And they're really kind of going like 50% and below as far as the fact of their tolerance level. So if you are buying on shit networks or large link farming types of networks and stuff, that's probably going to hurt you in the long run. And I would say from a reputation management standpoint of view or for a black hat standpoint of view, if you really want to damage someone, that's going to be the way to go at it very, very quickly.
Well, and I think this is just going to be – it's going to be a lot harder to recover, too, the stricter Google gets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not going to be – like the link disavow tool is nice, but it doesn't actually – Google still has to grant your request. You know, there's no easy out.
Sure. And I also think, too, that with that happening, their focus in getting people to utilize more of social signals is going to be highly important as well. So another thing that happened recently was Google Alerts is still broken and still having a lot of issues as far as returning good results and actually sending those out. And Andy Beal of TrackUR has taken a huge opportunity to let everybody know because he has a pretty big voice, Marketing Pilgrim, and amongst writing for Search Engine Land and other places too. But he basically giving people 50% off their first month. So TrackUR is another one that can go ahead and send you alerts as a number of other tools as well. Andy's is not the only one. But another cool thing that happened in the past 2 weeks, which is really, I'm really happy about that, is Google Trends, which I use a lot, is now showing YouTube search data. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so you have a separate graph on there as well to see what people are utilizing in that. And I think that also points over to more of the fact of content that people are publishing in the form of video and images and infographics, which is going to be an image, that is becoming important too as a, not an identifier, but a signal. For helping for ranking and traffic and reference. So
did you see that YouTube hit 1 billion views last month?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like something like 15%.
Totally crazy. Did they say how many of those were mobile?
No, they may have released it in the report, but I didn't see a specific number. I'm curious as to how big of an impact that would be because, I mean, I know I'm on YouTube at least two or three times a day, but... yeah, it's just wild to think that much of the entire Earth's population is hitting one website a month.
Yeah, they're saying that over, let's see here. I think they said over 25% of global YouTube views come from video. And people are watching 1 billion videos per day.
That is crazy.
On YouTube mobile. Wow.
I mean, do you remember when YouTube first came out? It was kind of like a novelty. It was like, oh, this cool little video site. And that was, what, 5-6 years ago?
Oh, no. They've been around since like 2005.
Have they been around that long now?
Yeah. I think they bought them in 2005.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because somebody built that and then basically sold it.
To Google?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a...
The dude's brilliant. Got an island now.
Yeah, exactly. Off the coast of France.
Yeah.
Hanging with Johnny Depp.
But going back to that, there's going to be another Penguin update that's happening very, 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 very soon. And so Penguin 4, and they've also hit two other link networks since the first of the year. And so that looks like that's going to be kind of the point, too, that, you know, they're really trying to make the effort of policing large link networks that are going to pass signals of rank. So stay away from those. And Panda Everflux is basically the way they're talking about it, about their integration into regular Panda being integrated into regular updates on a daily basis.
That's going to be interesting, too, for clients who have, or not necessarily clients, but sites who want to have good content. They're not going to realize necessarily if they have bad content, there won't be as much of a hit by Panda now, so they won't realize that they're doing something wrong.
I think still you have to look at generalized metrics, like the amount of traffic that's going there and the bounce rate.
Yep.
So... I want to talk about some cool tools because there's a number of tools that I find that I utilize on a regular basis. I just came across a new one that's actually pretty cool. And I've been kind of in a, I don't know, I had kind of a conundrum because iGoogle is going to be going away in November.
I know.
And basically RSS aggregation. So what kind of outlie can I have on a regular basis? Because my iGoogle is like packed. It actually takes like 15, 20 seconds to load because I'm aggregating so many RSS and Google Reader is gone now. So
Feedly. That's what I've been using for. I basically use it as a social news reader on my phone. I love it.
Pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it reads. It reads a lot like Flipboard does, Google's magazine app.
Yeah,
but it's prettier. And
I just seen another one called Zeit.
I haven't used Zeit. I have a couple of friends who've mentioned it over the last couple of weeks, but I haven't used it.
All right. So, yeah, it looks like Feedly is the one that everybody's recommending over to.
Feedly is the biggest alternative to Google Reader right now. And they're...
No, I just wish, because I haven't found a way at all out of iGoogle to actually export out all of my feeds and to import into somewhere else, because that's going to be a lot of just copy-paste. Sounds like a great Odesk or Freelancer.com gig for somebody to do for me. $3 for fucking...
There's a great app called Pulse, which I used to use on my phone for a while, that is a news aggregator. It's pulse.me, and it's very similar to iGoogle. You pull in all your feeds, and you can either access it on the web or on your tablet or on your smartphone. I prefer to view it on a tablet just because I like the layout the best. But that's been my alternative to iGoogle for a while now. I don't use it very often. But when I do want to check what I had in iGoogle, I check out Pulse. Huh. And it's also very visually pleasing to look at, which
I like. Yeah, it looks that way. I kind of like what Zeit might be. But let's talk about some other tools, too. I wanted to go through and kind of like people have asked me over time, like, what do you use for this? What do you use for that? And some I even forget about, but there's a handful of them that I utilize on a regular basis. And there's a couple new ones I just came across. One of them I'm really, really liking a lot. Solo SEO. It's a link research tool. And what's really cool about this is if kind of being lazy, well, it's actually made it so easy now. So a lot of search operators that you are going to be looking for, like all in title, all in URL, minus this, minus that, plus this, plus that, you basically put in your keyword and it actually lists all of those out for you with links. Ooh. So soloseo.com. It's very, very cool. So automatic search operators. And then... that makes life a lot easier in doing research because we're always looking for links. So it's weird because I don't even realize a lot of time that I'm looking for links because I'm looking for information and like prospects. And these are just some of the things that I guess it's just so normalized for me. Research Buzz should be a site everybody's going to pretty much on a daily basis. If you're in the SEO and I guess online marketing industry and you're not just an agency guy that's buying retargeting bullshit.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 pay-per-click guy, and you got hired for $42,000 a year to do something in New York. But, I mean, if you're really, truly into this shit, Research Buzz is a place that I definitely suggest that you go to on a daily basis, because the guys over there do a really, really good job. And I even picked up something really cool, which is Google Keep. I guess it's basically like a scratch pad. It's like Evernote for the free.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool because, you know, I've always used Notes or just Notepad on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this would be good because it's actually going to integrate with my Google account.
Yes.
Which one of the things maybe I don't care about that they see. So.
Yeah, I won't start using Keep religiously until it has an iOS app, though. Because right now it's only available on the Android and on the web.
Yeah.
So
Stupid Android.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it should be days, if not a week or so.
Yeah, I assume it'll be out. It'll be out soon. But
Million Short. That's another site that's pretty cool. And basically, if you're looking for link prospecting or you're really looking at sites or blogs or you're looking to find out content, when you're doing a lot of aggregated keyword search, you're always finding a lot of the similar types of top sites, top 10 sites, and a lot of them are the regular suspects. So basically, it removes the top 10 listings from search results.
Ooh.
So it helps you get to the bulk of some of the, you know, the lower of the meat, essentially, very, very quickly, which is kind of cool. BuzzStream. That's a great tool for a lot of things to do with building links. What I really like about that one is the blog roll contact builder. So basically you can put in different keyword searches and you can find a number of different blogs that are out there, and it'll actually list the contacts that they're finding basically from Whois.
That's awesome.
Or from scraping their site. It's not perfect, but it definitely helps and adds some automation to it. Link building query generator. And it generates, basically based off a keyword search that you put in, it generates queries for both Google and Bing based on your input side by side, which is really nice and quick.
It's always interesting to compare the two search engines too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can do the Bing and On.
Yeah.
Which I've thought is a joke.
I've done it probably 30 times, and maybe Bing is one twice.
Yeah, and I love how they basically have you vote for which result is better, because, I mean, I would say I have about a 90% turnover ratio for Google.
Yeah.
I can just tell what results are there.
Well, especially when you see that Google Plus post pop up. And
yeah, totally. Citation Labs. It's a paid search. It's definitely a paid service. It's not going to be cheap depending on what you're getting. But it's very worth it because you can basically input a number of different URLs and aggregate a number of different ways, but it'll go ahead and blow back contact email addresses for you of those URLs, which is a good starting point. It's, again, a lot better than Odesking or freelancing and having someone do that for you and go through all that rigmarole. It allows you to aggregate and change those very, very quickly. Majestic SEO. Yes. I've been a long-time supporter with Duncan for quite a long, long time. We interviewed him back in like 2008, 2009 when it first really just came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just been I love it. It's pretty much my right-hand tool. And the backlink history is amazing.
It gives you so much information.
Oh, totally, totally. And the API that they have great packages. And if you have in-house tools that are aggregating that data as well, that API is great to connect to. I guess the best thing that I can say about it is their own data. They're not basically scraping and regurgitating from any other locations. They're their own. They're the largest crawler of the web outside of the big search engines.
Yeah.
So it is their own data. It's very great. And the link comparison tool, you can really hone in and see over a period of time when competitors have been link building or not, or when they've had efforts, or when they've had press or news. I mean, there's just so much investigative types of data that is going to be awesome for you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about Majestic SEO enough. It's got so much stuff.
It's just so hot.
It is.
So hot. Screaming Frog.
Ah, yes.
That's been almost a right-hand tool for quite a long time. But the data that pulls in very, very quickly and aggregate that, and if you're an Excel junkie whore, then that's a great tool for you. But it really helps you very, very, very quickly. And what's nice about it, too, is, I mean, crawling competitors or link prospects, URLs, and finding deep gems based off of keywords. I mean, mashing all that shit up and doing your own searches, there's so much data you can pull back.
Well, and the thing I like about Screaming Frog, especially when, you know, you're getting ready to launch a redesign or something like that, you can use Screaming Frog to identify every URL you have to write a 301 redirect for.
Yeah.
And it's super easy. I mean, I've been using it for the last 5 or 6 site launches we've been doing, and I absolutely, I use it 3, 4, 5 times a day. I love it.
It's very hot. Ice Rocket. Ice Rocket is Cuban's engine, or he had an interest in it way back in the day. He tried to make this like
Mark
badass.
Cuban.
Yeah, yep. This meta search engine. And it's still a meta engine, but now it's more based for real-time social searches.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty good. I mean, kind of going to the social aspect now for social tools. Another one is Follower Wonk. So based off of a Twitter ID and their description or what's going on in their tweets, it's basically a keyword search. And it really quickly allows you to you got to play with it, but you can really target users based off a keyword or hashtags, and then it's very easy to quick to follow and then, you know, go on with your campaign to engage with them.
That's very
or
cool.
If you're going to be buying Twitter ads, or you're going to be buying paid tweets, it's a great way to help to aggregate some of that stuff ahead of time.
Did you see that the FCC laid the hammer down on paid tweets?
No.
If you're tweeting a sponsored tweet, you have to state that in your post now.
That's always been.
Yeah, I mean, but it's now actually people will be getting fined for it now,
whatever.
Unlike before, which I think is interesting, just because they're easy to identify, but
so
you know.
They basically outlined new guidelines.
Yes, they outlined new guidelines is what they did. Yeah,
that's got to be pretty fucking cool to have a company that you've invented, like Twitter.
Yeah.
And then the FCC creates guidelines based off the company and the product that you have.
Yeah. Something that started off, you know, as a personal messaging thing originally.
That's just
so wild.
That's funny. So the Federal Trade Commission, actually, they have a press release.
Excuse me.
Yeah, FTC. Yeah, the FTC. What is the FCC?
Federal Communications Commission. That would be, you know, when Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction.
Ah, there we go. There we go. So when it comes to online ads, the basic principles of advertising law apply. Advertising must be truthful and not misleading. Advertisers must have evidence to back up their claims. Substantion. Advertisements cannot be unfair. Define unfair.
Well, yeah.
Coke is great.
Yeah.
You know, Pepsi sucks.
It's like the...
Is that unfair?
It's like the principle you can say you're the number one product in the world and you're technically wrong, but you're not wrong enough to be in trouble. You know what I mean?
That's a fucking joke.
Yeah, advertising is a weird.
They're just
fine. I liked your overly white people voice there, by the way. I'm very official.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it sounded like a how I imagine a, you know,
a white person.
Yes. Like Dave Chappelle impersonating white people. That's what it sounded like.
I miss Chappelle.
I do too.
You know what? And you can never get enough of Chappelle, but you're kind of over for the past couple of years of just all his stuff that's been out there.
Yeah.
You could only watch it so many times.
I agree. But I love that he just lives in Ohio. You know, like he just lives in a suburb in Ohio. No big
just
deal.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
Uber Suggest. That is keyword generation on steroids. And that's very, very cool. And definitely utilize that because that gives you so much long tail opportunity. And it's all... based on their algorithm, but also on actual data as well. You know, here's another thing, too. Two other ones I'm going to give you, and then we're going to jet, is going to be very, very good places to look for links or for link prospecting in many different ways. And it's all about information, and it's all about being where your competitors are or where you want to be. But Wikipedia is a huge, huge reference place.
Yes.
And the best part about it is if you're looking at a topic, so say we're looking at like about, I don't know, name a topic.
Metallica.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I've been on a Metallica kick the last
three
days.
Well, I mean, who would be competing with Metallica? Another band? They want to say they sound like Metallica?
Yeah. Or no, let's break it down. Like, just do heating and cooling. HVAC.
HVAC. HVAC. Okay, so I went to Wikipedia. And they have a page on HVAC, of course. But all the way down at the bottom, they're going to give a ton of references of older citations and references. They also have a C also. So you can see here, it goes down into granular for HVAC. So now we have a glossary. There's air handling units. There's going to be associations, American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers. Civil engineering, central heating, duct, cooling towers, thermal comfort, underfloor heating, Geo exchange, forced ass gas, forced air gas, kind of screwed that up a little bit.
Oops.
There's a number of different sub wikis underneath the parent HVAC that now I can go to, and I can think about content ideas. I can look at how well that is referenced as well. And further reading. So if you start to look at where some of those are pointed out to, chances are they're going to be very, very good validated references, because the wiki police out there that aren't getting the white envelopes are doing a lot of justice. However, those references, chances are whoever wrote those, they're going to have credentials to them.
Yep.
They're probably going to have a lot of value, not only to the URL, but to the actual site and page. Those are individuals that you probably want to tell them about your product or your service, or find ways to get them integrated with you. And then the further reading on out to other locations out there on the web. Those are also great ones too, like the International Code Council, International Mechanical Code, or Modern Refrigeration and Air Conditioning, which is a book, and Wilcox, Goodhart Wilcox was the publisher. So there's a number of different things that you can find that are out there. The author, obviously there's going to be authors of that book as well. And they're probably on some board somewhere, or they're fucking professors or something like that. So, crafting content or crafting your pitch to those people will give you a good chance of getting your content published and noticed by the right people and spread along that way. So I think doing very, very good investigative research. And I almost think that people that go into like criminal justice, would be very fucking good, like link prospectors.
Yeah.
Because you really have to know how to do investigating and kind of think like a black hat, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Think like the criminal. So that is it for this week.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.